Jared, Executive Director of the Ridgefield Playhouse, in studio. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you, gents?
He has sleep apnea.
He does.
That's why I was late.
Great excuse if it's not true.
Right, I like how it's one segue to the other.
Brilliant.
Right.
Listen, we try to keep a through line here.
Nice.
That's cool. Well, thanks for coming in. Thanks for bringing all these tickets.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We're going to dig into the Playhouse in a second, but first I want to take a couple calls. We ask people to call in their funny concert story. 203-882-9757. Everybody on gets in the running. At the end, we'll pull out a bunch of names, and I mean a bunch.
A bunch.
And you'll get free tickets to the Ridgefield Playhouse, which I don't know if you've been there. Awesome place.
Oh, yeah.
500 seats.
Yep.
And they really know how to treat the artists.
All your
so
models.
The artists love
Beautiful.
Playing there.
Yep.
Comedian Dan Brown in studio.
Hey.
He had a very funny concert story about someone just singing too loud at an Alison Krauss story.
The drunk Waylon Jennings, yep.
Yeah, the drunk Waylon Jennings. Colleen on the road.
All right. So it's 2016. Me and my buddy are seeing Breaking Benjamin and Star Set at the Dome. Star Set's the opener, and during their set, the singer, Dustin, he's drinking a bottle of Josh wine. So he goes, I'd like to thank Josh for this great wine. Guy in the crowd's like, how much are you going to drink of it? Dustin's like, all of it. So later on in the set, he does this one song where he has a phenomenal scream. Crowd goes nuts. So at the end of the song, Dustin goes, so you guys like screaming and drinks. Looks like tomorrow, next show, it's screaming and drinks.
Okay.
All right. It's a good story. It's a great story.
Right.
We asked for a funny concert story.
Right.
That's a funny concert
that was
story.
Very funny. Screaming drinks.
Very good. We have your number. You're in the running. Colleen, that's great. Right.
Thank you.
That would encourage me to go to the next day's show.
See, it's
going to be
delivery.
Screaming and drinks.
It was the delivery that
it
got me.
It was the delivery.
The delivery got me.
It leaves you in that stunned silence, like,
right,
is it over? Is there more?
Right, that next call.
That's good. Did you get her number? Yeah, okay. Get everyone's number.
I'm taking everybody's numbers, absolutely.
Awesome.
She should open for you one day.
Yeah.
Make your job a lot easier.
Paul in Bridgeport.
Yeah, hey, I think it was 1979 I saw Aerosmith at New Haven Coliseum.
Oh.
We didn't have a ride home, but one of my groupie friends was trying to get close to the stage because he had a big boa constrictor snake she wanted to give to Steven Tyler.
Right.
But she couldn't get close enough to the stage. We were supposed to be on the roof.
Shouldn't be the other way around.
Way down to the fifth row, like...
Are you sure that was Aerosmith?
I'm going to get you close enough to Steven Tyler. You'll be able to touch him. She thought I was bullshitting. All right, so
don't use the S word.
After the concert, the traffic was backed up on 34, and we're on the highway, and then a limousine pulls up, and she goes, oh, there they are, and she holds the snake up. And you see the drummer look up, and he taps, and Steven Tyler, he gets out of the limo on 95, I'm telling you. And he comes over to the car. What kind of snake is that? He goes, oh, it's a boa constrictor. He goes, you know what? Keep it because I won't be able to take care of it. Now, this guy is 1 foot from me. I'm crammed in the back of a Corvette. I can't even move. But my
in a Corvette? You're not supposed to be in the back of a Corvette.
No.
I know, but we didn't want to walk home.
Well, the snake wanted to ride. Snake's like, yeah. Corvette. That Corvette's cool.
I got my girlfriend close enough to touch Steven Tyler.
Right. Wow.
It was great.
Yeah, thank goodness. Like a mouse.
79. Spark. One of the last concerts up there, too. Yeah.
And I bet you Steven doesn't remember it all.
Did she go to... Bessie
Blackman. She used to be a groupie. And look, she went backstage with Ted Nugent, all the groupies.
All right, wait a minute. Did she go to 38 Special in Kansas at the New Haven Coliseum?
I'm sure she did.
With that snake?
She's been to everybody. I got pictures.
This is a wild. Shut up. This is a wild.
Dude,
where's that snake now? I'd like it to wrap around you. Just kidding.
Yeah.
Kidding. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Listen.
Take a breath.
All right. So I'm in the running.
Take a breath.
You're in the running. Go ahead. Take a walk. All right, Paul. Thank you.
You were saying?
I was at 38 Special in Kansas.
Right.
And Steve Walsh, Kansas, is on stage.
Uh-huh.
And this is back when you could, like, when the show's getting close to ending, they would let you just walk right up to the stage.
Right.
And so, like, I'm right up against the stage, and I look 3 feet over, and I see someone with a giant snake.
Right.
I'm like, who the hell would bring a giant snake to
tripping.
The concert?
You're not tripping, no.
And Steve Walsh is singing one of his hits, because it's the end of the show.
Yeah.
I forget, it's Carry On or whatever.
Right.
And he's walking up, and he's smiling, and he's singing, and he looks down, and he jumps back, like, 3 feet when he sees the snake. I'm like, who the hell would bring a snake to a show?
And that's what, yep.
I think it was her.
That's when he wrote Down the Road.
Apparently, they're great gifts.
Is there no security at these shows?
Hell no.
Jesus.
How are you getting the snakes in?
You have to wear this. The snakes are more shows than I have.
Right. How are you getting
the snake in?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a whole.
Yeah.
You know what rock stars love? Wild animals. Like.
Right. You never see a llama.
Right.
Because I'm a spit.
We asked for funny concert stories, and man,
funny.
We're getting them.
That was funny.
Jesus.
Right?
Jared, the GM of the Ridgefield Playhouse, is here. What's going on there tonight?
We got G.E. Smith there tonight. It's a Masters of the Telecaster show. It's G.E. Smith, Jim Weeder, and Larry Campbell. They're just going to be shredding blues tunes, and I mean, they're fantastic.
That's amazing. By the way, when we talk about Connecticut artists,
yeah.
G.E. Smith is definitely top tier.
Yes.
Connecticut artist.
Yep.
Went on to Saturday Night Live. He was in that band for decades.
God. I grew up watching GE on Saturday Night Live.
And every musician on the planet has played with that guy because everyone who came through Saturday Night Live played with that band and him.
Yep.
He's spectacular. We had him. He sat in with Bernie Williams. You know, we do our annual Bernie Williams Day. He sat in with Bernie Williams last year. We hit it off and we said, you got to do your own show here. So here he is coming tonight.
Oh, nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Holly in the car. Holly?
Hello, Holly. Snake getter?
She's going to be. Holly in the ditch with the snake wrapped around your neck.
Help. There's a snake with 2 feet sticking out of it. What is this?
Lenny in Torrington.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Stop.
Okay, my story is kind of ironic. I was in a local band back in the 60s, and we fronted for Sam and Dave at Quinnipiac College.
That's amazing.
And
cool.
After we did our set, and here we are, our band is dressed up like the Kinks or something like that. So one of the drummers came over to me and asked me if I could fill in for their guitar player because he was sick. And he told me he was going to show you the keys, don't worry about it. And I refused because I really didn't know any of their music and didn't want to make an idiot out of myself.
Right.
So here I am right now, 74 years old, regretting that I never gave it a shot. But it was fun anyway.
Hmm.
That's a hilarious concert story you had there.
It's not funny.
Ironically funny. Thanks, guys.
All right. We're going to put you in the running.
Right.
Oh, man. Imagine that. You want to play with Sam and Dave?
Right.
Yeah.
I got that thing. I got to go take
But see, this is the lesson here is when you get that opportunity, just take it.
Yes.
Because you will kick yourself for the rest of your life.
And we're going to kick yourself, too. Right in a snake.
Kim in Fairfield.
Good morning.
Hi.
Morning.
So I went to school with Betsy Blackman, the snake girl.
Oh, you did?
So, oh, yeah. I knew her very well. I know her very well.
And, I want her number. I want to get her on. I want to see if she went to Kansas
you know
in 38
I
special.
Haven't
pat
seen
her down
her
first.
Forever. I know she doesn't live around here that now. I don't know.
Well, when's the last time you checked on her? Because she lives with a snake.
Right.
I mean, could be bad.
Her and her sister, I knew her sister very well, too. But I haven't seen them around the area in a while. So
have you been to the Ridgefield Playhouse?
No, I haven't.
Never.
Oh, wow. What do you see?
What?
It's amazing. It's
you live in Fairfield.
Yeah.
You've never
I
been
do.
To the Ridgefield
Fairfield.
Show.
Yeah. I have never been able to get there for whatever reason. I haven't.
Because you're cheap.
She took a car. plenty of
I'm going to give you tickets. How's that?
Yeah.
I say I mean Jared.
Exactly right. Cause
we.
Right.
We.
Yeah, we.
You want to hear my story anyways?
I don't know.
It depends. Is it good? Is it good?
Yeah. It's a funny one.
Okay, then.
All right.
What animals do you give people?
So, I was at the inaugural Hartford Civic, the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater, the first show.
Styx and REO Speedwagon.
Right.
Yep. It was a great concert. So I had to go to the ladies' room, and I was waiting, and I finally got in there. And so I went to
Go. Are you on a treadmill or something?
Do you have to go to the ladies' room right now?
What's going on?
I know. So I went to go flush the toilet, and I leaned over to flush it, and my glasses were on my shirt, and my brand-new glasses went right down the toilet, and it was such a high-velocity flush that it was
gone.
Way that so I was,
Mr. Hank has glasses
I was like,
now.
Wow.
So I know!
I walked out laughing my butt off and just telling the people I was with what happened, and that was my funny story.
That is a funny story.
Yep, you flush your eyes.
Especially
good.
When they were like new. They were new prescription glasses.
Were you able to see the show?
Oh, yeah.
That's a great question.
They were just like readers. You know, they were just for me.
Okay.
Close up. So, I was able to see the show.
Good.
She just didn't go up to the wrong people and start telling them her story.
Right.
She was out in the parking lot all night looking for a car.
Right. I saw the cars.
I can't find my seat. Could you help me, please?
All right, Kim, we're going to give you tickets. And we also, we have your number, and Ruth is going to reach out, and we want to try to connect with Snake Lady.
Oh, okay. I'll see what I can do.
Thank you.
My brother is good friends with her, too, so I can see if he knows where she is.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, Kim, enjoy the Richfield Playhouse.
Yes.
Report back. Let us know what you think. We know you're going to love it. Well, I wonder if a lot of people have seen this Snake Lady at the shows.
You know, you go to these shows long enough and these characters appear time and time again. You know, when I was going to a lot of like jam band shows when I was younger, you'd see the same guy spinning in circles with the long hair, same pair of shorts, didn't look like he had changed in 6 months. And everybody'd be like, oh, that's the same guy. And you always wonder what these people do for a living or what their day jobs look like.
He works here.
Yeah.
Oh, so you met Danny Mac.
But, you know, you get to know the culture of these of that scene. It's really fun. These are the people that kind of make it, you know, what it is.
It is really, it's community.
It is.
Yep.
And it's totally insane, but it's like, well, there he is, you know. It makes it special.
It's music brings us all together.
Yes.
It's a really good vibe.
And snakes.
To be at concerts and shows. And Richfield Playhouse is awesome.
Oh, yeah, love
Colin Quinn, is that sold out?
Colin has a couple of singles left. That is it.
Really?
I think we can probably pull out a pair if you guys want to do a giveaway.
Oh, we'd
love
we'll
shuffle some people around. We'll get you a pair of tickets for that.
Cool.
But
nice.
That's done otherwise.
Wow.
And Colin loves playing the room. He turned down a bunch of other offers to come to the Playhouse, and we love him, and he's incredible. He's one of the most underrated, hardworking comedians. He's spectacular.
Seinfeld loves him.
Yeah. Oh,
all the top comedians love him.
That's right. Seinfeld produced, I think, his couple one-man shows for him, and watching Colin work is really cool. He did two shows for us during COVID. You know, we set up outdoors, had this tent. We had Bill Burr. We had Nate Bargatze. We had, you know, John Mulaney. We had everybody. Colin Quinn came and did two shows. He did his first set. It was okay. During the two sets, he's writing furiously, pacing back and forth. I'm like, hey, man, you good? He's like, I'm good. Keeps writing furiously. Gets out for the second set and absolutely crushes.
Wow.
Anything that wasn't on point in the first set changed. Fixed it. He remembered everything, went through all his notes, and burned the place to the ground the second show.
Wow.
That was one of the coolest things. That watching that guy work was amazing. Really, really cool. He's an incredible comedian.
Tim in West Haven.
Yes, good morning. How are you guys?
Good, thanks.
Good. So I have a story. When I was in college in the early 80s, I used to work security. So one night we were working the Landmark Theater in Syracuse, and after the show, they had a makeshift bar down in the lobby. So after the show, our boss asked us, me and my roommate, if we could help the bartender bring the liquor back up into the storage room, which was on the second floor. So we did that, made a couple of trips up. Then on the third trip, both of us, as we get to the top of the stairs, just look at each other, look at the exit door, and out the door we went with two cases of various alcohol.
Nice.
Put it on the fire escape, and then after the show, you know, after we were all finished, we left and went around the back alley, and we stocked our bar for a good month at school.
Jared doesn't seem to think that's funny.
Jared's requesting your number.
Jared's like, I don't want this guy in my place. Richfield's a great place for artists to come and hang out.
It's a great town. That's the nice thing about being in Connecticut. You know, a lot of the time the artists are in New York, they're going to Boston, so they get to come to Richfield. They come early. I was just saying, you know, that we had Blue October, whatever, a week two ago. The guys like to get here early. They're walking around town, going to restaurants, checking things out. I literally drove past Justin, the lead singer, in the parking lot. I'm like, hey, man. He's like, hey. I was like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm just going to walk to town and get a bite. He's like, I love it here. It's really something they look forward to. They really like the town. There's no agents. There's no managers. There's no. It's not the city. They don't have to do a million meetings.
There's
you know?
Good food around there, too.
That's the thing.
If you're going there, too, you go in early. You walk around town.
Exactly.
Especially now. The weather's getting nice.
Yeah.
And you go in, see the show.
Do it.
Very walkable.
Awesome. Is there a restaurant that you prefer to use?
We have a lot. Actually, we have really good restaurant partners in town. There's a lot of good food. There's Luke's. There's Gallo. There's Terrasole. There's a lot of good restaurants there. We do a lot with Tequila Escape because those guys are open late, so we send people there afterwards.
That's where I went, Tequila
Southwest
Escape.
Cafe. Yep. There's a lot of good food there.
Yeah.
So we do all kinds of restaurant deals where we'll send folks there. You get a percentage off your bill or a free beer or glass of wine or something just for going, and then you know just show them your tickets. So we do a lot of deals like that just to try to help, you know.
And you're the booker, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
you read the writer and you figure out what they want.
Exactly.
And then you go into town and get it.
Yeah.
You
we have
send someone.
Exactly right. So my partner, Ashley, does all the development and operational things that I would be terrible at. I oversee all the booking, marketing, production. So exactly. We're going through the writers. We're seeing all the crazy things and I'm scratching everything out. No, you're not getting this. No, you're not getting this. But these days it's much more tame than it once was.
So what's it like trying to book some of these big names from the 70s now?
Oh, man. The whole thing changed out of COVID. These guys lost a couple of years of touring.
Yeah.
So it's like when the runway was clear to start touring again, fees doubled. You know, they said, listen, we got to make up income. If you look at, Tedeschi, it's unbelievable.
It's really amazing.
But look, if you look at, Tedeschi Trucks Band, those guys have, 12 people on stage? They kept every single person on salary during COVID out of their own pockets, which was an incredible thing to do, right? So, they're obviously making up for that now, and they're going to be fine. But that was an amazing thing to do. A lot of guys didn't have that. So some bands folded. You know, the cost of gas, the cost of touring is through the roof. It's $800 to fill up a bus that gets 5 miles to the gallon. Jeez. So the cost of tour, it's like, and that's all getting pushed into ticket prices for patrons, right?
Gotcha.
So ticket prices are at an all-time high. Inflation's high. Artists are asking more money than ever. So it's hard for us as a 500-seat theater to get the really big-name classic rock artists that we used to get because, they're playing rooms that are three times the size of ours now.
What ticket price are you comfortable with?
Well, what I'm comfortable with is
like nothing. Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. 20.
I think our average price, we try to keep around that $60 range. You're definitely going to see things that are higher than that these days. But, there's...
So most of your ticket money ends up going to the band and production.
Listen,
and you're just going to try to make some money on beers or whatever.
Listen, if we sell out, we're breaking even. So people don't understand
that, right?
Yeah. People don't understand that. They're like, Richfield's got high tickets. Yeah, because it's a 500-seat theater. You're not going to see this artist. You're not going to see Tracy Morgan in another 500-seat theater.
Right.
The Goo Goo Dolls, that's our summer fundraiser. Those are $450 tickets. That's a big ticket. That is the single smallest room you're going to see them in ever.
Ever.
Right? They're playing to 10,000, 7,000 people a night. They played the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater last summer and burned it down.
Yep.
But if you look at the P1s, the most expensive tickets where there's all that dynamic ticket pricing, those are going to be over $400 tickets. So I'm basically thinking about it when I'm looking at that offer, like, okay, if I can get those people and some diehard fans and our core people, we're going to be fine with this show.
Wow.
It's a pretty special experience
to see them. How much room do you have negotiating with these bands? Not really. They tell you the price, and then what do you do after you hear a price?
The market is so flooded with venues these days that there's not a lot of room to negotiate. Either they want to play the room or they don't. Here's the offer. This is what it is. And honestly, I base it a lot on ticket price. I think about the patrons and say, would they be comfortable paying for this? And I pass on artists all the time that I'm like, I'd love to have that band. That's going to be too high of a ticket. I can't do it. And so there's a million rooms for them to go to these days, So there's not that much wiggle room.
Right. Have you ever had a band, you were good on the numbers, but they wanted other stuff that you're like, yeah, I can't do it.
Every now and then, their production requirements are too big, but that's kind of a good thing. That means we're looking at bigger bands and we're bringing in, artists that we shouldn't be able to have. It's kind of a good problem. You're punching above your weight class. You're bringing in things you shouldn't be able to. So when they say, listen, the money's fine, but the production's an issue. We can barely fit on your stage. We had the OJs and those guys were in the wings,
I love the OJs.
Oh, it's an unbelievable show. It was fantastic.
Half the bands in the parking lot.
They were.
Hey, America.
Exactly. exactly. We could barely close the doors. You know, it was a huge show. But those are good problems to have. And the bands that want to do it are willing to work with you. And they'll say, all right, listen, let's look at the rider. Let's, you know, we'll cut out what we can. Maybe we don't need this. We don't need that. And then you have other artists, you know, Frankie Valli. I get on the phone with the production manager and I say, listen. And he said, no. Before you start talking, I'm going to tell you right now, we're not cutting down our show. Thank you very much, sir. Have a good day. Click. That's the end of that conversation. That's it.
It was that fast.
That's it. Some people will not cut down their show. It just is what it is. And others are saying, listen, we'd love to play the room. The money's good. Let's talk about it.
What kind of condition is Frankie Valli in?
Well, I think I dodged a bullet there.
Yeah. I mean, I love the music.
Like mid-80s,
me too.
Right?
Me too. But I actually watched some video after that. You know, I try to do as much research and see what kind of condition your 70 and 80-year-old artists are in, right?
Yeah.
Mike Campbell is telling you, Mike's in his 70s. The guy still crushes.
From Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You know, he thought he was in New Hampshire. He said, you know, welcome New Hampshire. I was like, that's not going to go well. And he had in-ears
in. That could be weed.
But yeah, it could be. You know, he had in-ears in, so people are yelling at him, you know, you're in Connecticut. He can't hear a damn thing. So he did that twice. But, you know, with the older artist, I watch a lot of video. I try to get a sense of what's their show like. Are they singing? I'm making sure they're not playing tracks. You know, what's the quality of this? Are people going
to
dig this?
Does that bother you if they're playing to tracks?
It does. And actually, I won't book them.
Is that right?
It does. And that's a personal thing. And I don't let my personal bias get in the way of my programming. I book what I think is going to do well for the room.
Yeah,
and
But if your people are paying for live, you want live.
And there's a very famous musician that you guys know very well from an incredibly famous band who doesn't even sing. Doesn't even sing. He's lip syncing the shows.
What size show?
It's a pretty big show. And I stopped.
Bon Jovi?
I stopped booking it. No. Like a show that would come through our room. And I absolutely can't say who it is. But I stopped booking it. I was like, that is not.
If I guess, can you move your eyebrows?
Just scratch your nose.
I'll tell you when we're off the air.
Okay.
But that's the kind of thing where I really want the patron to have a good experience. And I was annoyed by that. I'm like, listen, you're up here lip syncing. Are you kidding me? You're not playing here anymore.
Right.
So that's a little bit of my personal bias that I put
good
into it.
Good for you.
But,
it's a live music venue.
And I had to tell the agent
this is
that.
A karaoke night.
That's it. That's exactly right. And the agent called me even a month ago like, hey, can we get this artist back? And I said, no. I said I'm really sorry. It's just it's not my vibe.
I was slipping Spanish music.
Well, it's also very ballsy, by the way. You know,
it is.
The mic goes up. You know, they talk to the audience. The mic goes down. They play the track, and now he's lip syncing.
Right.
It's a very ballsy thing to do. I have no patience for it. So I said, no.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. All right. Listen, we didn't get to a lot of calls, so everybody who's on hold right now is in the running.
Yes, you are.
Love that.
And you have a good chance because Jared brought so many tickets.
So many.
We're going to pick them. We're going to get the names. We're going to send them to Jared. And Jared, congratulations on being GM.
Thank you.
The Richfield Playhouse.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in.
Appreciate you guys.
Got to have you back.
Thank you.
This went by way too fast.
This was fun.